Brother Edmund spoke about the Hamburg Assembly and how they fell in love with the praises. It so happened that I was there when that came to a head, 1953. The church was sort of divided, and there were those that just loved these praises so much, and it almost seemed to me, and it sounded like they practiced. When they came, they had unusual praises. They didn't sound earthly exactly, but there was something a little bit weird, something a little bit strange for a while. And when they would worship the Lord, well, a man came in off the street. He happened to be a teacher of opera singers. And he told these people that the harmonies were more rich than Puccini. That didn't help much. They loved the praises still more. And there was this group, and they would testify about the marvel of praises. And there was another part in the church that didn't like the praises. And at least this kind of praises. And you could feel it in the meetings. They would testify and sort of aim at each other. One afternoon, I went to Brother Walfel's room, Brother Hans Walfel's room. And I was really worried about this. I was only 20 years old or so. I said, "What's going to happen, Brother Walfel? This is terrible." And he laughed, a deep belly laugh. Oh. I thought it was a little strange at the time, but later, reflecting, I realized that it was a laugh of faith. And he said to me, "It's the Lord's assembly, it's the Lord's people, it's the Lord's problem. He'll take care of it." Well, the Lord did. We had morning and afternoon and evening meetings at that conference. And in one of the afternoon meetings, for some reason, we were delayed and got there a little bit late. The meeting was already in progress, and I had to sit halfway back in the congregation. It was the strangest beginning of a meeting I had ever been in, I think. It was just everything seemed disjointed, no synchronization, no harmony. Sister Wally was at the piano, and as she played the piano, it was a small upright piano. She had the top open because there were a lot of people there, and this piano was right in the middle. And all at once, a string broke and flew out of the top. I'd never seen that happen in my life. And that caused a little distraction. 15 minutes later, another string broke. I'd never seen a string break on the piano in a meeting before or since, but two of them broke that afternoon. And after a while, after some singing and some of these praises, real high praises, all at once it got still. Real still in that meeting. I mean, it got still. Just felt like something, an atmosphere from above had come in and just held everything. Long time. Pretty soon a lady that was in the front row right near the piano, she began to sing a chorus, a peppy chorus, and clap her hands. Nobody joined. No one joined. It was awkward, and that silence just enveloped us again. I believe it was over an hour of silence like that. Now, it wasn't the silence that did it, but it was Jesus that came in that silence. And presently, three or four or five people were so disturbed by this silence that they jumped up and they went out the door, the back, and let the door slam behind them. And right after that, the Lord just swept into that meeting again and seemed to just heal the wounds, and the meeting and the conference went right on. God had done something. Now, I don't know the whole story. I wasn't behind the scenes at the time, but I know that there came a mighty change that day. God had gotten at the heart. I know that sometimes we can have Pentecostal forms. We sort of despise the liturgical forms of some of the dead churches, you know. But I'm conscious that sometimes we get into Pentecostal forms. We have Pentecostal liturgy. And we praise the Lord just because, well, that's what we do after we sing the first hymn. And everybody does it, and so we all join in, and we're praising the Lord, and we really don't even know what we're doing sometimes. Has that ever happened to you? More than 25 years ago, Brother Gardner spoke to me, and he said, "Bob, sometimes when you praise the Lord, it sounds like your mind is elsewhere." He was often quite frank with me. He had a way of being blunt. Was he ever that way with you?
Yes.
Well, anyway, he told me that, and I thought to myself, no, not me. I know a sister that does that, but not me. But about a week later, I was in a morning worship. My dad was leading the meeting, and we were worshiping and praising the Lord. And all at once I realized that my mind was someplace else completely, and here I was praising the Lord loud, and my mind and my heart was really not in it. And so there went me up a light. Oh, I do that, don't I? I do that. I didn't realize that. Lord, this people draweth near to me with their mouth. May it not be so that we only draw near with our mouth. God has given us a wonderful ability to use our mouths. But oh, let's make sure that they're consecrated, that they're sanctified, that the lip, that our lips have been touched with the coal of fire from the altar of God's holiness. And we don't draw near with our lips in pretense and for effect that people might see, and our hearts be far from the Lord. The Lord looks to the man that is humble and of a contrite heart, and to one who trembles at his word. And then when our hearts are right, and when we've obeyed the Lord, when we've made a full consecration to the Lord, the thing that he has put his finger upon, when we've done the thing that he's told us to do, that he showed us to do, why then our prayers will go right through. Then there'll be results, there'll be a harvest, there'll be blessing, there'll be fruitfulness. If we're in rebellion and disobedience and refuse to consecrate, you know what happens? We go round and round in circles like the children of Israel in the wilderness. 38 and a half years they walked in their own ways. That walk belongs in the Guinness Book of Records. 38 and a half years of walking in their own ways. God intended that they should go right in, and God intends that we should go right through, that we should gain victories, that we should become fruitful in his kingdom, that we should get the victory over those things in our nature that are not Christ-like, that hinder us. And he puts his finger on those things. And we say, oh, don't bother me about that now. Lord, let's have some more of this glory. And sometimes ministers like the effect of the glory. I know, I've been there. When we praise the Lord and the glory comes down and everybody goes home saying, whoo, that was a good meeting. Wow, did we ever praise the Lord? Oh, that was glorious. Oh, that's wonderful. But how about if that's not what the Lord wanted? Suppose the Lord wanted people to go home and say, ooh, I'm rotten. I got filth in my heart. I need to get cleansed. I need to humble myself under the hand of God. Whenever you hear Brother Wanamaker speak in these last 10 years or so, it seems every time he speaks, he talks about how the Word of God in the early days was like a sledgehammer and would hit the people, especially those who were training for the ministry, hit them over the head with a sledgehammer. And he said as they preached, as Elder Brooks and some of these others would preach, he said we would sink down in the seats further and further and further and further. And he said, but there were a few that would rise up and that would say, I don't need that, I don't need that, I don't need that. And he said, in every case, they disappeared from the scene. They became useless in the kingdom of God. But those that went down, my dad used to tell the same thing. He said, sometimes he went from the meeting and he'd say, something's wrong. Either that preacher's wrong or it's me. And he said, every time the Lord showed him, it wasn't the preacher. That was his salvation. The Lord was able to show him, it's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And how is it with us this morning? Do we just like the glory? Do we just like the effect of the praises? Do we just like the effect of the glory times? Do we draw near with our mouths? God wants us to have glory times. They lift us. They bring us into his presence, and his power can work. So it liberates our faith to claim victories from God. God wants that sometimes. Yes. But he also sometimes wants us to go home from the meeting and say, something's rotten. Something's rotten in here. Never mind Denmark. Something's rotten here. Something's wrong within me. Oh, God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in your way.